2017 was quite a year geopolitically and for President Donald Trump. What lies ahead in the new year?
You know, I added the list of 81 major Trump achievements in my weekly news report last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also 11 Obama legacy items
That's
that were
right.
repealed. When you look at these, and I just went over this just before the program, and I look at these, I go, I remember a lot of these, but there's a lot of them that I wasn't fully aware of. And it's a very impressive first 11 or so months in office by what he's been able to accomplish.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. On today's broadcast, White House News correspondent Bill Koenig joins Jan to discuss the first year of Donald Trump's administration and Bill's projections for year number two. How might the president's policies affect you? How can we pray for President Trump in 2018? Later in this hour, we'll hear from Lori Cardoza Moore, the president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, a ministry designed to educate churches on the importance of Israel. First, let's join Jan Markell as she gets Bill Koenig's take on the importance of moving America's embassy from Tel Aviv.
We're profoundly grateful for the president for his courageous and just decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and to prepare for the opening of the U.S. embassy here. This decision reflects the president's commitment to an ancient but enduring truth, to fulfilling his promises, and to advancing peace.
And welcome to the program, and I am glad to be back in the studio after several weeks of kind of a needed break, and I'll be talking about some issues, some of which broke last month in December, as I have a current events update today, and assisting me for much of the program is the familiar voice of Bill Koenig. He's White House correspondent since 2001, and I'll give contact and other information about Bill throughout the interview. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I mean, interesting times. How are your press corps people reacting now? I mean, I'm reading, and I think I even read it in one of your periodicals that you write, that some are acknowledging Donald Trump is actually accomplishing some things. Well, yeah, lots of things, but they're all leftists. So how are they reacting?
Well, up until recent, 90% of the Trump news has been negative, been pretty consistent since he took office in January and even before then. And I think I saw correctly a day or two ago that about 3 to 5% of the news about Trump, I think it was right at 5% of the Trump news is positive. So,
that's right.
You know,
I saw
these
same.
People just can't contain their dislike of this president, but some things are so obvious, Jan,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're seeing. A few of them, Jake Tapper and a few others, that have just had to acknowledge that that was a good thing, or that, or this policy was a good thing, or that law was a good thing. So, you know, when it's obvious, they have no other choice when it comes from a credibility yeah. standpoint to acknowledge that this is a good thing.
To be quite deranged over some of the things that he's promised to do and has accomplished, from reducing the Leviathan state of government and cutting over 80 progressive government bureaucracies and organizations and rules and regulations, pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, stimulating the economy, Supreme Court and appeals court appointments. ISIS has lost most of its caliphate, so I would hope the left would acknowledge some of that.
Absolutely, Janet. And I, you know, I added the list of 81 major Trump achievements in my weekly news report last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also 11 Obama legacy items
That's
that were
right.
repealed. When you look at these, and I just went over this just before the program, and I look at these, I go, I remember a lot of these, but there's a lot of them that I wasn't fully aware of. And it's a very impressive first 11 or so months in office by what he's been able to accomplish. You know, at times we've talked about this. He has a good week, and then he says something at the end
right.
of the week that detracts from all the good things that happened that week, and it ends up being a weekend Twitter war. But the bottom line is he's accomplished a lot with some very, very challenging environment to operate within, and you just got to give him a lot of credit.
Well, you said to me that Donald Trump is up against the New World Order, the globalists, and the globalists tend to rule the world. He threw them a curveball. Can they derail him?
I think they would like to, obviously, Jan, but I mean, how do you do it? I mean, he is, You know, when you look at some of the things he brings up and then does, I mean, these are very practical issues when it comes to NATO, 24 or 28 countries that hadn't paid their dues. And, you know, he told them right in Brussels when I was with him on the Trump trip, you know, in May, pay up. You guys need to pay up. And he was able to get $7 or $8 billion of money that had not been paid that had been committed to. You know, the Paris Accord, I mean, he had a very lengthy meeting on that same trip with the Pope. And one of the things the Pope gave him was his writings on global warming and the seriousness of global warming. And then he went to the G7, G8 meeting in Italy and said, you know, he'll consider it, he'll discuss it, and came back and made his own decision. I mean, he is making decisions that a lot of us would do, but when it comes to political figures, they don't very often have the courage to make these decisions, whether it's confronting North Korea, confronting Iran, dealing with Russia, dealing with NATO, dealing with ISIS. He takes tough stuff on, and I know a lot of people appreciate that.
Well, what about pulling funds out of the United Nations? Did we ever think we'd see that?
No. And that's been necessary for a long time. I remember when they, you know, had to put John Bolton through during a recess, Senate recess. President Bush couldn't get him affirmed, so he had to run him through during a recess. And he was a fantastic ambassador. Mm-hmm. And John Bolton said, you know, if four or five of these stories just disappeared at the UN, they'd never know they were gone. And there's a lot of waste. There's a lot of hypocrisy. There's a lot of obsession with the state of Israel, which Nikki Haley has been so effective at communicating from the day that she took office as our ambassador. You know, we provide almost 25% of their annual budget. And I think that the Trump-Haley team have been great at the UN and called them for what they are, hypocrites and anti-Semitic. They're not quite using that word, but the fact that this bias against Israel must be no more. And the fact that, you know, just this recent decision on Jerusalem, willing to say, we're going to take notes of who's with us and who's against us and do something about it.
Well, I want to go there, and I'll go there right now, because Donald Trump's supporters, they celebrate his boldness and they celebrate his break from Washington as usual. They celebrate his separation from business as usual. And one of the biggest items in 2017, back in December, was his move to make Jerusalem the noted capital of Israel. Now, no major power in the world has done this. And of course, we all know that several presidents have promised to do this. And this is the city with God's name on it, according to 2 Chronicles 12, 2 Chronicles 33. There, God speaks of his ownership of the city, and he's going to return there. And the Jews occupied it long before any Arab did. It goes back 3,000 years as sacred to the Jews, 2,000 years as sacred to the Christian. And Donald Trump came along in December and did something quite incredible. Bill, let me play a quick clip here. It's Dr. Robert Jeffress talking about this, and I think this might set the stage for you and I having a short discussion here.
Well, I have been over the last several days on a conference call with State Department officials and White House officials about this. And look, I believe President Trump is a modern profile in courage for having the guts to do what no other American president has been willing to do. And look, those who are devout Jews and Christians celebrate this decision because they believe what the Bible says, that God gave this country to Israel and made Jerusalem the capital 3,000 years ago. But beyond that, this is the right thing to do. I mean, we recognize the right of every other country in the world to name its own capital. Nobody argues with France's right to make Paris its capital city. Why should Israel be any different? I think the president made the right call here.
Well, he's made a lot of, it's been great for him with his evangelical base, and there's a lot of people that do see it your way. I think there is a lot of concern, and there has been in the past from politicians, that this will stir the pot, and you worry about what this is going to do to, the Middle East at this point, because it's angered a lot of people as well.
Well, I think the president made an excellent point yesterday when he said the current policy that has been in place for decades certainly hasn't made peace in the Middle East. Maybe it's time to try something new. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I think as the White House, the president, Jared Kushner sit down at the negotiating table, perhaps it's the wise move to go ahead and take Jerusalem off the table to begin with and start negotiating from a position of strength rather than weakness.
you know, a lot of people do think that this is going to derail, as you're talking about, the peace process. And I guess my question to you is, what should we look at and learn from history in regards to this?
Well, I think what we ought to look at in history, even for those who don't believe the Bible, history confirms that this land belongs to Israel. You know, this idea of Palestinians, most people, most of our viewers don't know that term Palestine was invented by the Roman Emperor Hadrian in 100 AD as a way of saying to the conquered Jewish people, this land is no longer yours. But history shows that Israel, the Jewish people, occupied this land before the Arabs, before the Palestinians, before the Muslims. And you know, I had an Israeli officer say to me one time, he said, Robert, what if Israel said to the United States, we are no longer going to recognize Washington, D.C. as your capital until you divide a portion of the capital and give it to Canada and another portion of Mexico to be neighborly. That is ludicrous, but that illustrates exactly why the president made exactly the right call. He is on the right side of history, and more importantly, he's on the right side of God.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Washington Bill Koenig. You've heard him on my program many times, been a conference speaker a number of times as well. Bill, he was just called a profile in courage and on the right side of God. You and I would agree with that, but boy, it makes some people angry to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, Jan, there were some of us that worked really, really hard behind the scenes on two things. One is having President Trump reconsider his active involvement with the peace process, and also going ahead and moving his embassy to Jerusalem, and also acknowledging the reality of the fact that Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel. All their government offices, all the key government offices are located in Jerusalem. So let me put it this way. When I wrote a letter on September 6th and delivered to the White House along with my updated I-to-I, which is 572 pages of events, catastrophes that took place when we were pressuring Israel to divide their land, and good friend of yours, Michelle Bachmann and others, we lobbied hard for President Trump to fully understand the biblical significance of this land and that no earthly leader has the right to divide the land. And shortly thereafter, President Trump said that he would not impose, in other words, not pressure the sides to make a decision. And also when it came to two states, that was up to Israel and the Palestinians to determine whether two-state was the proper solution. And he has said this over and over again since then. And I really thank the Lord for those of us and others that have emphasized these the strong evangelical support of the state of Israel and Jerusalem, the importance of the city of Jerusalem, to motivating the president to make this decision at a sooner time. And with all that said, Jan, it hasn't produced a lot of the so-called Arab backlash. It's really been pretty calm. Mm-hmm. The only ones that have really raised a ruckus have been the Palestinians and then a few of the Arab leaders. Other than that, it's been very calm.
If you'd like to learn more about Bill Koenig and his ministry, his online outreach, his White House correspondent activity, it's watch.org on the web, www.watch.org. He's got two books. I've featured them on air in the past, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel, and Revealed, Obama's Legacy. And you can find those both at watch.org. And you can also sign up for his e-newsletter where he talks about a lot of the things we'll talk about in these segments that we're doing on Understanding the Times Radio, Koenig's Eye View from the White House. We still have in play, though, Bill, Zechariah 12:3, and that's the promise, the foreshadowing that Israel is going to become, Jerusalem is going to become the burdensome stone to the entire world. I still think there could be some fallout up ahead. I really do, just based on that verse alone.
Without a doubt, Jan, I think of Zechariah 12 often, because you've seen over the last couple of weeks how serious the city of Jerusalem is with the international community. See, what happens when the United Nations approved an Israeli state, they wanted to continue to consider Jerusalem an international city. The Obama administration really pushed that. Commerce Department, State Department said, when we talk about Jerusalem, leave Israel off. Mm-hmm. Don't call it Jerusalem Israel, call it Jerusalem. Even the extent the Obama administration supported the Supreme Court decision that said if an American is born in Jerusalem, they cannot put Israel on their birth certificate and passport, or it could not be on their official U.S. passport. It'd just be Jerusalem. So for President Trump to make that decision, and heavily backed by Vice President Pence, who also is a very important part of this decision, this is just against the international community. I mean, the international community is saying, wait a second, you have no right to make that declaration, even though it's obvious. Jerusalem's the capital of Israel. So that's the issue, Jan, and that's why this Zechariah 12:3, when Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone, and most people also don't realize that the final battle for Jerusalem is Armageddon. So it will continue to become that burdensome stone all the way to the completion.
I think your advice to my listeners is to keep praying for the Trump administration. He has at least 10 evangelicals in his cabinet. We've talked about this on air before. There's some Bible studies going on with the very people in high leadership. I think we need to continue to be praying for Jared Kushner. He seems to be sort of the point man in some of the Middle East discussions. And you said to me off air that Donald Trump's biggest role will be to accelerate final day events. And I want to talk to you about that certainly in my next segment. But let me just ask you quickly here, because, and we can continue this in my second segment, because you stated to me that Israel must do something soon about Iran. You said Israel specializes in preemptive strikes, and doesn't she? My goodness, 1981 in Iraq, 2007, the reactor in Syria. You said Israel has the right U.S. president in office now, that she would have the U.S. backing with a strike on Iran. And it could involve, you've talked about this on air before, it could involve a nuclear strike, an EMP attack, conventional weapons, or all of the above. But if that happened, and imagine the tremendous loss of life, you talk about Zechariah 12:3, I think the world would indeed come against Israel if she did that preemptive strike on Iran, which she almost needs to do.
Well, it gets to that point, and we've talked about this before in your program, Jenny. Yeah. Get to that point of no return, and that is what Israel is calculating. They were really close. I mean, they were all but ready to say go in October of 2012, and Obama convinced Netanyahu to hold it, wait till after the election, and that he was going to push sanctions really, really hard. But, I mean, Netanyahu is all but ready to go because their calculations said that Iran is getting more and more dangerous. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the calculation. And what's great right now is we have leadership, political, White House level, on Congress, and also at the Pentagon, that fully understands the number one threat to the Middle East is Iran, if not to the world.
Yeah.
Secretary Mattis, General Mattis, was let go of because of his strong opposition to that Obama nuclear deal. And, you know, Mike Pompeo, who's director of the CIA, who's privy to this intelligence, who is also a very, very bright man, West Point and Harvard grad, he was probably the most outspoken member of Congress about the nuclear Iran deal. He opposed it. And also, Vice President Pence has a great handle on the risks of a nuclear Iran and Iran's plan and caliphate plan for the Middle East. I mean, the Iran are very strategic, very smart chess players. These are three-dimensional chess players. They are above their enemy intellectually, strategically, and they're very patient. So we know, fortunately, President Trump, Vice President Pence, General Mattis, Secretary Mattis now, CIA Director Pompeo, and other members of our military that are in the Middle East, they understand that something is going to have to be done with Iran at some point in time, as well as Israel, knowing that more so than anything else. So it's all timing at this point.
Okay. Well, when I get back, I want to continue to discuss with you, because you said to me Trump's biggest role will be to accelerate final day events. So I want to talk to you a little bit more about those final day events that he's already started to accelerate, and what perhaps can we see down the road here in this new year. So I'm coming back, folks, in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
We know you're enjoying this edition of Understanding the Times so far. Just remember, any program you hear on the air can be downloaded from our website, olivetreeviews.org. Or you can purchase a compact disc recording by phoning 763-559-4444. Stay with us for an announcement from Jan about the date and speakers for next fall's Understanding the Times conference. Be sure to put it on your calendar. More conference information will follow in the coming weeks and months. As we start this new year, we're finding more of our listeners want to help us maintain this ministry. You can ensure this program continues to air across America every weekend. All your contributions are tax deductible. Please send your gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jan returns shortly with more from White House News correspondent Bill Koenig.
Just a heads up here to save the date for Understanding the Times 2018. This year we will gather at Grace Church just outside Minneapolis on Saturday, September 29th, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Speakers include Amir Sarfati from Israel, Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Pastor J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii, and Pastor Billy Crone from Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas. They will help you discern the times and make sense of today's chaotic headlines. They will help you see that today's headlines are not harbingers of doom, but rather signs of our redemption. That's Understanding the Times 2018, Saturday, September 29th, near Minneapolis, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. We'll give you updates right here on this program, online at olivetreeviews.org, or through our print and e-newsletter. Save the date and don't be left behind. Well, and you said to me, Donald Trump's biggest role will be to accelerate final day events. Let me ask you, do you see a war in Israel in 2018?
Very possible. You know, we've thought that probably over the last few years, that it was becoming more and more possible, especially with Israel and Hezbollah. But Israel continues to take out Iranian military properties inside of Damascus, or near Damascus, inside of Syria. And they pretty much have their land bridge now that ISIS has been, you know, really defeated in many ways. And, you know, they're becoming more formidable and more aggressive inside of Syria.
Bill Koenig has been in Washington as a news correspondent. Bill's been our go-to person to help us understand current events through the light of Scripture. Recently, Understanding the Times caught up with him just outside Washington, D.C. Now let's rejoin Jan and Bill as they continue their conversation.
So many of our allies disagree. The Prime Minister of Great Britain, our closest ally, Theresa May, said it's a mistake. Jordan, Turkey also came out saying they thought this was dangerous, that it could provoke violence. Are you comfortable with the fact that it could lead to killings in the Middle East as a result of this decision?
So, of course, we don't want to see killings. We don't want to see violence. But let's be clear. Let's do a reality check. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. So we're acknowledging something that's common sense to everyone. The parliament's there, the prime minister's there, the Supreme Court's there. That is the capital. And by us putting the embassy there, that's a U.S. decision. Having said that, courage doesn't come by doing what everybody else says. Courage does by what you know is right. This is the right thing to do. And what the president's doing is he's showing leadership. And will there be those that have negative feelings about what we're doing? Yes, of course. But could this possibly lead to a peace process? Absolutely.
And welcome back. Talking for a couple of segments here with Bill Koenig. You've heard him on air with me probably several dozen times now over the years. If you'd like to stay in touch with me, I hope that you'll follow us on our Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, and on Twitter at Olive Tree Men. You can become a CD subscriber of this program, get a CD of every program. You have to call us to do that. It's only $15 a month. And remember, the program is posted to my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, every Saturday morning. So if you're just catching a portion of today's program, you missed part of it, you can go to olivetreeviews.org and pick it up there as well. Get a CD of any program. Bill Koenig, Nikki Haley, we heard there in that little clip. Some are saying she is a potential presidential candidate for, who knows, 2024 maybe. Would you agree with that?
There's a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. She's bold. She speaks with clarity. She has called the United Nations exactly what it is. Very possible, very capable. And as my Israeli friends in the government press office in Israel said, we could not have created a more effective U.S. ambassador to the U.N. when it comes to Israel's interests. They are ecstatic over Nikki Haley, as well as members of AIPAC and some of the large Jewish lobby groups. She's been tremendous.
Mm-hmm. She comes from a Sikh background. Mm-hmm. Now she's, I believe, a member of a Methodist church. I don't know if it's gospel preaching. I have no idea. Do you happen to know if she has any understanding of Israel's end time role?
I don't know. I don't know, Jan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully you or perhaps Michelle Bachmann can get further acquainted with her as the Trump administration moves on here. You also said something to me in a private conversation, and that was that, and I'm going back here, back to the early part of segment one, and I raised the globalist community because Donald Trump threw such a curveball at them. They thought their globalist empire was about to blossom thanks to Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump came along, and as I said, you said to me, he's up against the New World Order, the globalists. And you also said that we need to keep praying that he have God's continual protection. You feel he does have God's protection. I am concerned for his safety, because if we're talking globalists, look, that's a international cartel of leaders who meet in smoke-filled rooms and plan some nasty things, and they concern me. And you feel Donald Trump is actually protected by God. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do need to continue to pray for him and Vice President Pence and their leadership, their cabinet, members of the Pentagon that are in leadership roles. Mm-hmm. But yes, I feel that President Trump, like most of our presidents in the last 100 years, have had a very significant biblical role. Some obvious, some not so obvious. I mean, Harry Truman, you know, Ronald Reagan, Dick Nixon before Reagan, Jimmy Carter, you know, one way or the other, Jimmy Carter had a role with Camp David. It led to a lot of other things.
Right.
And then Bush, Clinton, Obama, and now Trump. I mean, they've all had a very significant biblical, in my estimation, final day role of bringing things to completion. And you have a president right now that I believe has supernatural covering. He has Secret Service covering, but I believe that there's covering around him that's impenetrable. I sincerely believe that, because this is God's man for the hour. He's imperfect like many of us are, but he is God's man for the hour. They're in the process of developing a U.S.-Israel-Sunni coalition. Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, created an opportunity where President Trump had the opportunity to speak to leaders of 55 Muslim countries in May in Riyadh, and he said, you've got a friend if you stop the terrorism. If you don't, then, you know, we're going to reconsider our relationship. So, and he also fully understands the number one threat in the Middle East is Iran, and also the fact that Russia is a threat in the Middle East, and also Russia is trying to continue to gain an even more active role in the Middle East. And, you know, he gets intelligence that we don't have. We get a lot, and we can read the think tank writings and everything, Jan, but he gets intelligence briefings from Mike Pompeo most days of the week and other leaders, leaders of the Pentagon. He understands what the problem is, and he's the type of guy that will confront it. He won't keep kicking the can down the road like we've done with Iran and like we've done with North Korea. So with that said, that could very plausibly accelerate final day events to be fulfilled as spoken of in the Old and the New Testament.
Right. Well, and you said to me, Donald Trump's biggest role will be to accelerate final day events. Well, let's consider a few of them. We talked about Iran here rather extensively, but again, they're moving into the Middle East more and more. They're active in Syria. Israel is taking out some installations in Syria that seem to be Iranian-backed. We've got Iranian-backed Hezbollah. Many say that's going to be the next war in Israel. Let me ask you, do you see a war in Israel in 2018?
Very possible. You know, we've thought that probably over the last few years, that it was becoming more and more possible, especially with Israel and Hezbollah. But Israel continues to take out Iranian military properties inside of Damascus, or near Damascus, inside of Syria, and they pretty much have their land bridge now that ISIS has been, you know, really defeated in many ways. And, you know, they're becoming more formidable and more aggressive inside of Syria. A couple of weeks ago, there was a meeting. Putin had Erdogan from Turkey and Rouhani from Iran at Sochi to discuss the future of Syria. And, I mean, Iran is doing what they can to develop a military infrastructure in Syria that would put every inch of Israel at risk, and continue to fortify Hezbollah. So, you know, it gets back to what we were talking about earlier, Jan. At some point, Israel's going to have to make that decision we can't wait any longer.
Yeah.
And whether it's Israel by themselves or U.S.-Israel, something could give in 2018. And as we've talked before, Israel's gifting is preemptive strikes.
Yep, I know.
So they will hit when no one expects them to.
Yeah, well, again, as we already stated, Israel has the right U.S. president in office right now. I mean, under Barack Obama, he promised to shoot down Israeli planes if they tried to take out any of the Iranian nuclear reactors. I mean, was that bizarre? I never thought I'd live to see that. I also never thought I would live to see Israel reaching out and actually sort of becoming an ally of outfits like Saudi Arabia. I don't see them as a moderate nation, but nonetheless, the two are becoming friendlier and friendlier because Saudi Arabia, again, is afraid of Iran. So I didn't. These are unions that I just didn't think I'd see in my lifetime.
Absolutely. That's the good thing that came from Obama's missteps in the Middle East, his Iran nuke deal, his calling ISIS a JV team. It forced the Saudis, the United Arab Emirates, and Egypt and Jordan to have a level of cooperation with Israel's defense and intelligence community as never before. That's the good news. And now you have a president that is willing to help develop a U.S.-Israel-Sunni coalition
That's
to
right.
stand up against Iran. So that continues to emphasize the importance of that relationship. And as mentioned before, the Saudis believe that Israel would be the first to be hit by a nuclear weapon from Iran and that they would be second.
Mm-hmm.
And they
That's right.
are very concerned about that.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Washington Bill Koenig. Some of you have met Bill at my conferences, my conference activity. He's operated as a White House Press Corps member since 2001. You can learn more at watch.org. That's W-A-T-C-H.org. The books include Revealed, Obama's Legacy, and Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. And I'm taking some of my talking points from his e-newsletter. It is electronic only, Koenig's Eye View from the White House. Subscribe online at watch.org. So I hear you saying, Bill Koenig, that then indeed there could be a war in the Middle East in 2018.
Yeah, very, very possible, Jan. You know, only God knows. I mean, at this point in time, only the God of Israel knows the timing of that. But there's just something. The whole area is so fluid, so complicated. The Turkish President Erdogan has been bashing President Trump and international meetings. He brought 57 Muslim country leaders to Turkey right after Trump's Jerusalem decision, and he was very bold. And he's also talked about putting an embassy, a Turkish embassy in East Jerusalem, where the Palestinians are. So we're going to be watching him very closely. Putin, Rouhani, Khamenei, and Iran, obviously President Trump and some of his intel people. But those are the big players are going to watch, and obviously Benjamin Netanyahu. So if, in fact, there's a war or a conflict in 2018, the sides are taking their position.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what will be the catalyst of something like that happening? And I think a lot of it will have to do with Iran's aggressive movement into Syria.
That's right.
That might force Israel, possibly U.S. hand, even sooner.
Yep.
So that's the key right there.
Well, I think also Isaiah 17:1 could be on the horizon. That would be the utter destruction of Damascus. Israel's been bombing areas around Damascus
Correct.
For the last year or two. Some weapons activity that they're trying to take out around Damascus. I think that could be on the horizon. It's supposed to become uninhabitable. It almost is now, but going to be far, far worse. And then we've got Gog and Magog, and I think you and I place that in the tribulation, but nonetheless, the players, as you've just outlined, the players are lining up for Gog and Magog as we speak. It would include Turkey's Erdogan. It would include Libya. It would include Russia. It would include Iran. And it would include Sudan. And we've even seen, who thought Sudan would ever come into the prominent news? Now she's got a new leader. Is she going to be favorable or unfavorable to the things that we discuss here? I don't know.
Yeah, and those are former Soviet Union countries in the Caucasian Mountains that are also Islamic, very Islamic. So, you know, Jan, the alignment is happening. Jerusalem's God's time clock. Right now, the international community has made their position on Jerusalem. Everybody's taken their position on Jerusalem. I mean, all the major leaders, all the major nations. And then we're watching those people that we've discussed take their final day biblical role. Only God knows the timing. I think the Trump administration possibly will work on an agreement. Possibly could be the Daniel 9:27 peace deal.
Yes.
It will be a comprehensive deal between Israel and possibly the Sunni Arabs. I don't know. Maybe that'll fit Daniel 9:27. But I think that's the direction they're going in attempt to normalize relations with the Sunnis in Israel. The leadership is more prone and more open to that, especially some of the young leaders in the Emirates and also Prince Salman in Saudi Arabia, who's very close with Jared Kushner.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very good relationship. So a lot of the dynamics are in play. Only God knows how they're going to play out, but this is probably the most interesting, strategic, exciting time that I have seen in this region in the 20-plus years I've been watching it actively.
I would agree, Bill. I've been watching it at that length as well, and I would totally agree with you. And I'm so glad you brought up Daniel 9:27, and that's the reference there to the end time peace treaty. And I think some terms people need to start watching for, and I see them all the time, Bill, the terms peace and security, peace and safety, and then that goes to a Thessalonians reference, but end time peace and security, Donald Trump has said he's going to bring peace and security to the world, and some others who back him say the same thing, he's going to bring peace and safety to the entire world. They don't know that they're almost talking in a biblical language.
Absolutely. You know, we still remain a very small percentage of those that attend church that understands biblical significance of the state of Israel, the fact that Jerusalem is God's time clock, the nations that we know to watch, the leaders that we know to watch. We are so blessed that we fully understand it. I mean, the Bible is playing out right before our eyes. These Jewish prophets of the Old Testament spoke of these days, and we are honored and privileged and blessed to be living in this day.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I mean, we are it's a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. And indeed, because certain theologies have come along in the church, make this very cloudy. Replacement theology has come along. Amillennialism, which again disinherits Israel. Even preterism, the theology that teaches all prophecy already happened in 70 AD. All of these things come along in our churches, heavily mainline Protestant, certainly Catholic, and some evangelical churches have signed on to the various theologies, teachings, movements, whatever you want to call them, that marginalize all the things we're talking about today. Some of my listeners don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think the Lord really put this in my heart. We are living in the most significant and important time in Bible prophecy history with the least amount of interest in the church.
Absolutely.
Amazing to me.
Totally agree. It's the number one email I get into this ministry is people who have a heart and have interest, wisdom, knowledge about some of the issues you and I have talked about here for almost 40 minutes. And they even try to find a family member or a good friend to share this information with. And they cannot find it anywhere. They can't find a church. They can't find a companion to talk to about it. And they feel so alone. And yet they have truth. They have biblical truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is something for us to continue to pray about and to have those opportunities, because every once in a while you find someone that just really doesn't know a lot about this, but somehow or another has an interest in knowing more. And we need to pray for those opportunities and be given those opportunities to share people the biblical significance of the days we're living in, because as we know, there are so many distractions today. There are so many people are being pulled in so many directions. There is an information overload.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just amazes me that there's so little interest. But again, this is part of the apathy. This is a part of the apostasy. This is a part of the
falling away
that the Bible spoke of
toward
the end of time. And even if these days had continued, even some of the elect would have been deceived. And that's what we're seeing, Jan.
Okay, folks, again, you can find out more information at Bill Koenig's website, watch.org. Check out a couple of his books, Revealed, Obama's Legacy, and eye to eye facing the consequences of dividing Israel. We're not carrying a lot of products right now, so you have to get them at Bill's website. And then I encourage you to sign up for his weekly e-newsletter, Koenig's Eye View from the White House. He talks about, so many things, all the issues we've talked about in these two short segments, but he talks about far more than that. He's got an analysis of the church in a state of apostasy today. He has that every week. He's just got all sorts of little features in the Koenig's Eye View from the White House. Bill, we will stay in touch. I want to thank you for all that you do. And we do have a terribly interesting year ahead of us. And we look to people like you to help us understand the times and interpret the craziness going on.
Well, thank you, Jan. I look forward to being involved with that. And yes, we have an exciting year ahead, and we can continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and our Lord's return.
And that is not a suggestion, by the way. That is a commandment, Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It is a commandment. Thank you, Bill. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Jan.
We're giving God all the praise and honor for making 2017 one of the best years in recent memory for growing and maintaining Understanding the Times Radio. We have more people than ever praying for us and helping us as financial partners. It's all due to God guiding and directing this ministry week after week. Thank you for listening and for giving. Remember, our ministry continues around the clock online at olivetreeviews.org. We're looking forward to what God will do in 2018. We're excited to highlight current events that support a biblical worldview. If you can, join us in being a prayerful and financial supporter of this broadcast. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, or call 763-559-4444. Next up, Jan meets with the president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, Lori Cardoza Moore. Please stay with us.
Thank you for being a part of the Understanding the Times radio family. I hear from many of you who long to hear the truth. Some of you do not have a home church, and others of you have lost friends and family because of your love of the truth. That's what this program tries to give out each week on almost 830 radio stations. Additionally, we had almost 2.5 million electronic downloads from our podcasting audience in 2017. You made that possible, and please consider doing the same in the new year. You can click and make a tax-deductible online donation at olivetreeviews.org or call us business hours, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can always send a tax-deductible check to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. If you do, we'll visit your home regularly in the new year, and we'll await his return together.
If you look at the English spelling of the word Jerusalem, you have USA hidden in plain sight. Yep. Right there for all of us to see. But how many times have we read our Bibles, Jan, and we read the word Jerusalem and the USA, the three letters in the center, go right past us.
Right.
We don't see it. And it's significant in lieu of what President Trump just did.
Yep.
By declaring that Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel, and also declaring that the United States will move our embassy from Tel Aviv, the financial capital of Israel, to the eternal, spiritual, biblical capital, Jerusalem.
Proclaiming Justice to the Nations is a ministry with the purpose to educate, advocate, and move to activate Christians, Jews, and all people of conscience to build a global community of action and prayer in support of Jews and Israel. PJTN President and Founder Lori Cardoza Moore is our next guest. Once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. And I am really pleased to welcome back to the Understanding the Times radio, Lori Cardoza Moore from Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. This is a ministry you folks, you want to get acquainted with. It's a sister ministry to Olive Tree Ministries, as we both have a very, well, pro-Israel agenda. Lori is a filmmaker. You can learn a lot more at PGTN.com. Jerusalem.org, proclaiming justice to the nations. I met her at the National Religious Broadcasters, where she has kind of a sizable footprint, assisting other ministries to grasp the significance of God's land and people. And she even featured Anita Dittman, Holocaust survivor, in one of her presentations. And we're going to talk about some, well, we're going to kind of continue the discussion from the previous segments, if that's okay. Lori, welcome back to the program.
Jan, thank you so much for having me back. It's great to be here.
Listen, such a significant declaration last month. And as you state, because I've seen you in some interviews, you state that the letters USA are the very heart of the name Jerusalem. And like me, Lori, you also want America to be blessed, referring to Genesis 12:3. Mm-hmm. And the more we take a stand for Israel, the more we will be.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jan. I'm so glad you bring that up, because many times, you know, with Israel, Christians don't always hear the message about Israel and what our biblical responsibility is, and that's what the mission of PJTN is to educate Christians about that biblical responsibility, to equip them with information that they can share with their family and friends. And too often, Christians don't quite understand prophecy and where does the United States fall into the whole story. And I remind Christians that Paul said in Ephesians and in Galatians 3:29 that if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs according to the promise. And he told the believers in Ephesus that you who were once outside of the commonwealth or the nation of Israel have been brought near because of Yeshua's shed blood. So we are connected to Israel. And ironically, if you look at the English spelling of the word Jerusalem, you have USA hidden in plain sight. Yep. Right there for all of us to see. But how many times have we read our Bibles, Jan, and we read the word Jerusalem and the USA, the three letters in the center, go right past us.
Right.
We don't see it. And it's significant in lieu of what President Trump just did.
Yep.
By declaring that Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel, and also declaring that the United States will move our embassy from Tel Aviv, the financial capital of Israel, to the eternal, spiritual, biblical capital, Jerusalem. So we're going to actually be, just as the letters USA are in the center of Jerusalem, we are going to be in the heart of that city. And Jan, there is no other place that the United States should be.
Well, you're right, and you've been doing some interviews online, obviously, and some media interviews as well. And you say, what an exciting day to be alive and to be a Christian. We are seeing God's history book, the Bible, open in front of our very eyes. In 1995, the 104th U.S. Congress overwhelmingly passed the Jerusalem Embassy Act in recognition of the 3,000th anniversary of the spiritual and eternal capital of the State of Israel. Now we may finally witness one of the most spiritually and politically significant events in modern history. President Donald Trump implemented one of the most biblically historic initiatives of his presidency by recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and allowing the Jerusalem Embassy Act to go into effect. And then you say, Lori, and this is an interview I picked out of the Christian Post, as evangelicals, we believe the covenant God made with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants is still intact. That land includes Jerusalem, the city where he said he would put his name, 2 Chronicles 6:6. And many Christians ask me why we should be involved in ensuring that the U.S. Embassy be moved to Jerusalem. And I remind them that the letters USA are in the heart of Jerusalem. Where else should our embassy be? Now, Lori, you address the biblical implications of all of this. And giving the land to the descendants of Abraham was a forever covenant. And many theologians and many theologies have entered along the way here that would argue against this. From, again, replacement theology has done its damage. Some churches hold to amillennialism, which would deny Israel an end-time role, as would preterism, all prophecies, history. So these disinherit Israel, not to mention diminish Jerusalem. So one of my assignments, I feel, has been to awaken the churches who will not address any of these issues. Thus, church members do not understand what you and I are talking about right now. But talk to me a little bit about the biblical implications of all of this.
Absolutely. And so, Jan, you know, you so eloquently stated that our position as Bible-believing Christians should be to stand on the Word of God. Genesis 12:3, as you mentioned, God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and he who curses you, I will curse. And, you know, if you were to read that from the direct Hebrew interpretation, it says God would say to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and he who ignores you, mm-hmm. I will utterly destroy. That is significant, and it should be humbling, and it should be sobering for us as Bible-believing Christians. And, you know, there are so many scriptures that I could cite, but I want to focus on a couple of verses right now for this time. But in Zechariah 12, verses 1 through 3, mm-hmm. it's quite significant. And I ask Christians, did we just watch the fulfillment of that scripture come to pass on December 6th when President Trump publicly made that declaration about the capital of Israel, announcing U.S. would move its embassy to Jerusalem? And in Zechariah chapter 12, it says, if you read through that whole chapter, but there are key verses I want to pick out. Verse 2, behold, this is the Lord speaking. I am making Jerusalem a cup of poison for all the peoples all around. Also, Judah will take part in the siege of Jerusalem. He said, on that day, now this is end times, on that day, the last day, mm-hmm. I will make Jerusalem for all the peoples a burdensome stone. All whose bearers become lacerated, and all the nations of the world will gather against it. Well, we can Google the United Nations vote to condemn
That's right.
the Trump decision, and you can see right there, biblically, that that was brought into fruition. In the book of Ezra, you know, many people say that Ezra, that King Cyrus, during the time of Ezra, is a lot like, or President Trump
yes.
is a lot like King Cyrus. If you go to Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the first year of King Cyrus, king of Persia, upon the conclusion of the Lord's prophecy by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord aroused the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he issued a proclamation throughout his kingdom, and in writing as well, saying, thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has the Lord God of heaven given to me, and he has commanded me to build him a temple in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And that Judah is the one of the 12 tribes where Jerusalem resides. And if you think about that, even that statement that Cyrus made about God telling him that he was to build that temple, and then to fast forward to 2017, December 6th, and President Trump, likened to a King Cyrus, mm-hmm. declared that Jerusalem is the capital. The United States will recognize it by officially moving our embassy. That was huge. Another thing that's interesting to note for the listeners, there were four significant anniversaries in 2017, and you probably mentioned
yeah.
this on the
mm-hmm.
program, but it bears being repeated in light of December 6th and that decision President Trump made. But 120 years ago, Herzl convened the first Zionist Congress, 120 years from 2017. 100 years ago, the Balfour Declaration, which advanced Herzl's vision to recognize the right of the Jewish people to a national home in their ancient homeland. It's important to note about that the Jews became the first people in history to have regained their homeland, Jan, after having been exiled from it. We go on 70 years ago, the UN adopted Resolution 181 to establish a national home for the Jews. And 50 years ago, the Six-Day War of 1967, where the Jews were reunited with their ancient capital, Jerusalem. In 2018, we will celebrate the 70th anniversary of the rebirth mm-hmm. of Israel, which another interesting fact that I stumbled upon was that 2017 is exactly 1,947 years since the destruction of the Second Temple,
mm-hmm.
and 2018 will be 1,948 years since that historic event. Now, 1947 was the year that the nations of the world recognized
right.
the Jewish state, and 1948 was
right.
the year the Jewish state was established. Coincidental? Well, the word coincidence is not in our Bible.
That's right.
You're right, Jan. Christian leaders are not. In fact, I had an interview with a major newspaper, international, a French newspaper, and he had interviewed a mega church pastor in Houston, Texas, and about Trump's decision, and this pastor condemned it. And the pastor stated that for Christians to take an ancient book and apply their own interpretation is a stretch. Mm. And I said to the reporter, I said, excuse me, sir, did that ancient book to which that pastor was referring happen to be the Bible?
Mm.
And the reporter laughed.
Yeah.
And I said, that pastor needs to get his Bible off the shelf,
yeah,
dust it off,
yeah,
and start reading from the beginning again.
Folks, learn a whole lot more. Lori represents Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, PJTN.org, PJTN.org. She's got products there. She's got articles there. And she's the ministry you need to get acquainted with. And Lori, I know you're thinking you might run for Congress in Tennessee. Is that right?
I have been asked by some leaders within the conservative movement in the Republican Party to consider the run, and I am. And Jan, I have put out a fleece before the Lord, considered it for 17 years. And everybody is now coming to me saying, this is the time if you're going to do it. I said, okay, so the Lord's going to have to do it. I need the fleece to be wet now.
I've turned
it over.
Okay.
So I'm waiting on the Lord's timing. But, Jan, thank you so much for giving me this time. And, yes, I would encourage your audience to go to pjtn.org, order our Israel Indivisible documentary.
Yes.
It has everything that we just talked about in that film and more.
Indeed it does. Folks, the Bible does not single out a city or a country like it does Jerusalem and Israel. And while many theologies today marginalize these issues, God does not. He's returning to his holy city someday. He will rule and reign from Jerusalem, not Cairo, not Damascus, not Paris, New York, or Washington. His name is on Jerusalem, and as a result, the enemy is targeting God's land, God's city, and his people like never before. You've been called to be a watchman on the wall for these last days and to share the truth. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org. or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.